Hello and welcome everybody to episode 92. I've lost track again.
Where did you start?
Episode 92-ish, maybe, of the Ministry of Dice podcast. We're a UK-based podcast talking about all things Dice Masters from the United Kingdom. I'm Chris, otherwise known online as the True Mr. Six, and that fella over there
is Andy, a.k.a. Barry off EastEnders.
you've done it again on your tag. That's so random.
It's not random. It's a great guy. It is 92, by the way, I just checked.
It is 92. There you go. Yeah.
Eight episodes to our 100th episode. It's getting closer, folks.
Well, actually, it's six episodes to our 100th episode, but let's not get back into that. This is why I get confused, because my folder with all the audio recordings has got more episodes than we've done. But let's not revisit that.
No, because we know that I'm right.
Well, yeah, there were a few people get in touch and say, no, go with Andy. You got to do your 100th on your 100th.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. I appreciate it.
Everyone's got to have a moment. I suppose that might as well have been yours.
This is my moment. This is my perfect moment. That was a good song.
Who sang that?
That was Tiffany off EastEnders.
Tiffany off EastEnders. Was it really?
It was.
Oh, she's the Prime Minister's girlfriend in Love Actually.
That's it.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Hang on, I know her name. It's there. Give me 2 seconds. It'll come. Martine
McCutcheon.
Good
work.
Thank you.
I couldn't get Michelle McManus out of my head, and that wasn't Tiffany from EastEnders. She was the third winner of Pop Idol before it came X Factor.
Oh. Congratulations, Michelle. I hope you have a long, fruitful career off the back of that win.
She didn't. It was like 15 years ago.
Oh, right, okay. I don't watch reality TV karaoke.
Do you know any characters? Do you know Rick Waller? Are you aware of Rick Waller?
Rick Waller, no. I know about that long-haired guy that you were talking about.
Oh, Darius Dinesh. That's a blast. Yeah. That was like Tony time.
I know him, and I know the...
Gareth Gates.
Oh, I know Gareth Gates. He did a Comic Relief song.
He did? He was runner-up, but didn't win it, though.
I know him. And I know Will Young. Isn't he one of the...
He was the first winner.
He was the first winner, yeah. I know him, or know of him, I should say. Don't know him personally, unlike you.
Little Mix. You must know Little Mix.
Little Mix? Yeah. Something about singing songs about ex-boyfriends. Shout out to my ex. Is that Little Mix?
That's it. Well done, you.
Come on.
What about Rachel Adedeji?
Nope, don't mean nothing to me, that one.
No, she didn't get very far, but she had a great name.
Who's the one that they made the film out of? James Corden played him. He was a Carphone Warehouse store manager.
Oh, Paul Potts? Is it Paul Potts?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that there was a film made about him.
That's Britain's Got Talent.
That's Britain's Got Talent. Okay.
That's a completely different ball game. So talk about that for the next hour. I could probably be more informed about that than Dice Masters.
No, let's give the punters what they want. But if people are interested in Andy maybe producing some sort of reality TV related podcast, then get in touch. We'll see what we can do.
I can imagine people are just scrambling for their phones right now.
The Andy England spin-off.
It's my agent. Hello.
You'll have to find another co-host for that one, though. I'm not going to be much help in that.
I'm just on the phone to my agent. Yes. With Anton Deck. It's a deal. Set me up. Looks like there's something in the works.
All right, fair enough. There you go, then. Well, welcome, everybody. Here we are. All of...
Hello.
6 minutes in, and we're...
what have we got else to talk about? No new sets coming out for the foreseeable ever. It's all being cancelled. That's that bit dumb. MOD PDM's coming out. We will no doubt talk about that for the next month. There we go. that's it done.
That's not the attitude, Andrew. That's not the attitude at all.
Where are my cards?
There's loads to talk about.
There is always loads to talk about with you, Chris.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So, what has been? Should we do the what have you been up to the last 2 weeks? Get that out of the way.
Let's do it. My 2 weeks, Dice Masters Wise, has been filled with 10 in 10 in 10, 4, 10, your 10, my 10, we're all 10 together. And getting ready for the MOD PDM coming the 27th of March, yes. Which is a 10 in 10 event that we will tell you all about over and over again.
Yes.
Just to drum up your interest. You'll be so sick of it. You'll come just to stop us talking about it. So we've got that coming up soon. So I've been tinkering around with my team, played a few games with your good self.
Yeah. Yeah. They were good games. Interesting.
It's annoying how much this game is reliant on control. Yeah. Sometimes all you want to do is just throw dice at your opponent, chuck them down the field, do some damage, get blocked, boom, 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 boom. But it's all the chessing and the thinking. It's what, yeah.
You might be in the wrong, you might be playing the wrong game there, bro.
No, it's just it's the swing of balance, which I suppose in our little meta bubble is maybe more so than the wider world, but. Certainly, you got to think and add those. I don't like the control-y elements as much as I like the full-on attack. I think all listeners will know that by now, but certainly you can notice the difference. For example, the games that we played last week, which you can see right this second on YouTube, which is...
Would that be youtube.com/theministryofdice?
Well, yes, it would. Thank you very much for highlighting it to everyone out there. Don't forget to subscribe. It was the Pip the Troll was absolutely decimating me. As soon as I got enough combo, you know, the dice together to do something, Pip the Troll, oh, hi, put both of your characters, you just spent the best part of 8 turns getting in the field to single energy and then just like brush them to the used part at the end of your turn. It's infuriating. And that meant that I had to focus on that as opposed to your win con, because that was doing me more harm than your actual win con. It's that thinking, that mindset. And we're getting more, like a lot of games that we've played probably for the past 6 months, I suppose, have been less meta, top tiery, thinky. And we've just been having fun throwing different characters we like at each other. Sorry,
finish your thought first.
Oh, so just having to get back into that kind of chessy thinking mindset as opposed to just like blethering on whoever's in the chat and just chucking some dice at each other was a transition that I need to work on more.
Yeah, I was going to just add to that. I've been making a concerted effort recently as well to work on, because everybody knows I'm not a combat, attack step guy. And I've been trying to make teams to encourage me to use that more and get better at working with teams that use the attack step. So I suppose there has been a bit of a groove, whereas when it came to building a competitive team, I went straight back to form.
Indeed. But we ended one apiece, which was good. The first game I lasted not very long at all, but the next game was more of to and fro in. And managed to eke it through at the end. However, the MOD PDM on the 27th of March, if I've not said that already, is just one game.
Yeah, it is just one game. Yeah.
So you've got to be very focused on what's up on the opposite side of the screen, not the table, the screen.
Indeed.
To really think out what you're doing and make sure. I think the old phrase from the dice, the reserve pool, was to know if you are the beat stick or you are getting beaten by the beat stick, and to adjust your game plan accordingly.
Our games last week and the video of our games last week is a great example of that, because I think once you realised that, because your own control you used against my win con, which was Thor, Jormungand's Fear, which was fine, but then as soon as you realised kind of the Pip the Troll was just going to take care of your control, my counter control was going to control your control. Then in the second game, you went straight for Pip the Troll, which meant I had less tools in my toolkit to deal with your Black Widows and your Typhoid Mary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Typhoid or Drax? Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary, yeah.
Yeah. So I then pivoted to my Plan B win condition, but it was too late by that point. Too late.
But fun nonetheless.
What's that weird Confront the Mighty thing?
Yeah, so Confront the Mighty is affected by promo Black Widow Agent. So it means that you don't knock out the character when you're doing the equivalent of the damage, because it's some weird ruling that I've never really got to the bottom of. I think it's something to do with back in the day and Magneto and the affecting the character, not the action, or the action becomes the character kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't go digging around in it. Comics Mike and Red Mage in chat seemed to know what they were talking about. They were able to provide links. So we were like, well, sure. I think where the disparity is that when you actually read the card, like word for word slowly, you go, right, well, yeah, it is this character dealing damage equal to its attack is not actually doing its attack, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of rules lawyery, you know, wordsmithing. But the issue I had with it was that theme is everything to me a lot of the time. And the whole intention, I believe the whole intention around the Black Widow is that she's kind of nimble and darting about, and she could, you know, yeah, villains are firing laser blasts at her and she's like flipping and about and or ducking and diving the shots, which is kind of what her game text is all about. And Confront the Mighty is literally a picture of Giant Man growing and sparking out another dude. Do you know what I mean? So that thematically, even though the ruling made sense once we sort of dissected the words and gone, oh, I see what they're saying, it just didn't sit right because it's not on theme, you know?
Yeah,
and I just can't help but thinking that somebody at some point in a tournament somewhere has had a rough old time with Confront the Mighty taking out their Black Widow, and so has done a fine dissection of the game text, rules lawyered it around so that she does in fact not get affected by it, and just eliminated a pretty solid low cost removal card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. Although I was appreciative of it at the time.
Yes, you were. Indeed, you were. Although I've rejigged my removal. It's nowhere near as efficient now, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. And if you want to hear more about that or see that, then that will be on YouTube/ Ministry of Dice by the time you listen to this podcast.
Should be. Yeah, most certainly.
Cool. Other than that, that's about it. I have been sucked into a hole of Apex Legends on the PlayStation for me. Other consoles are available and are spending a lot of time on that. So I've not really done much else.
I saw you on last night. I booted up and was like, oh, he's on with other friends. What's this? What is this? I ask you.
It was the Andy England takeover. Red Mage popped up and he was like, well, this is unnerving. You're unsupervised.
Yeah, in fact, I picked up my phone to send you a message saying I'm bobbing on for an hour. And that was when I saw the Twitch had said, do you want to manage your channel? I'm like, oh, yeah, I suppose. What am I doing? But then you popped one of your wins up on the YouTube.
I did. I've got to that bit at the moment where I've been playing quite a lot. I've got better. It doesn't last very long because for one or whatever reason, be it going off the boil and not really fancy playing it, or you know, family obligations mean I can't play for a few days or a week or so, and it just goes immediately. At the moment, where I've played for quite a few days in a row, I've got that kind of, I've got my eye in, but it's irritating that it doesn't last. It's just like, can I not just improve and then stop for a bit and then go back to that same position and then improve a little bit more? As for going straight back down to the bottom of the 40-year-old playing a game hill. So that pretty much
kind of like with the Dice Masters, as you were just describing, really, that we've not played sort of competitive style Dice Masters for a while, so it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm slow. I need to do something repetitive in order to be good at something.
Dude, the tortoise won the race, you know what I'm saying?
Word to your tortoises out there. I feel you. Yeah. I'm in your camp.
Yeah.
Breakdancing, okay. However, never lose that. Once you got that, you never lose it.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. It's like riding a bike, except spinning on your head.
Body pop like a boss. And on that note, What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, so not a great deal, to be perfectly honest. Just the games with yourself on the Dice Masters front. I wasn't able to make it over to the KD Games crew this week because of work.
No, neither of us could do the Dice Social either, which we should mention.
Oh, yeah, the Dice Social, that was on the Saturday just gone by Kim and Jocelyn over at Double Double and Dice.
Lovely.
I keep half an eye on the stream and stuff and see what people are playing, what's going on. Looks like everyone was having a good old time.
It's a lovely informal online event if you guys are interested in something less competitive and more a chitty chat and a roly roll. Then absolutely. Keep an eye out on dmnorth.com. And you better see when the next one is out.
Yeah, they usually get the date out over on their... it's dm-north.com. But they usually get the date out over the socials and stuff as well. So that took place. But I wasn't able to do that one either. So pretty slow on the Dice Masters front. The 10-in-10 curse has hit me already, though. So we played last week. I thought, all right, I'll make some... I've got some thoughts now. I'll make some changes to this team. And then I've just fallen in a pit of... switching one card out and going, oh no, but the one I want to put in is the same as that one, so do it. Which is better to have in the team? I want, if I take that one out, is that, how much of a loss is that? And just stuck in my head for days, and I'm still right now sat with my team in front of me because I realized, I said just before we recorded, I took the team out of the box, put it out on the table ready to stream after we finish, and went, oh no, that's from the same set as that. One of my basic actions is the same as one of my characters, so I'm gonna have to do it. Last minute switcheroo. Yeah, thankfully there's a little pile of like a short list upstairs, so I'll just go grab one of them. But it's the curse of the 10-in-10, so I've been doing some team building tinkering stuff, but not much else. My City Slingers promos have arrived from the WizKids store. They came in the post just yesterday.
Oh cool, which ones are those? Are those the new Spider-Man promo ones?
Yeah
very cool.
I've got you a set as well, Chief.
No, you haven't, have you?
Yeah, I have got two.
Oh, bless your heart.
Because I'm soft. That's it in terms of Dice Masters. Not very exciting. Beyond that, not a great deal. I put a couple of videos out over the last 2 weeks. So I did a bit of a classic Chris YouTube spoiler review, looking over some of the Kryptonite Crisis spoilers and just suggesting some highlights, which we're going to focus on a little bit in this episode as well. And then over on Mod Extra, some of you folks might be interested in some of the board game unboxings that I've done recently. I've put a unboxing of the Kickstarter Umbrella Academy card game out.
Oh, I saw that you had that.
Yeah, by the time this episode drops, I'll probably have finished my Marvel Smash Up unboxing video as well. So if there's any wider board game fans out there, they might want to check those out over on our Mod Extra channel.
Well, give us a little sneaky spoilers. What do you think of them in 7 words each?
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Clearly a big cash grab.
Ooh, you only needed 5 for that.
Yeah. And yeah. Bit disappointed. Initial impressions, bit disappointed on that one.
Smash Up Marvel.
Not played yet, but looking good.
Yay. Cool. That's exciting. That's, do you know what? You've got loads of those Smash Up games. I've always liked the look of them, but only from the box. I've never done any more looking into it. Avier had loads, but we always, like when I used to go around his house before he moved away, we always had just that something else that always had caught our eye to play instead.
Sure. We really like it around these parts. The hashtag competitive wife, it works well enough as a two-player game. I think it's probably better at a 3 or 4, but it certainly works as a two-player game. And it's what it does is it gives me a bit of my fix, my sort of card game fix, but it takes away the deck construction, so I can get Jo on board with it. Because the reason she won't play Dice Masters, the reason I couldn't ever get to play Star Wars card game, is that she's not interested in the deck construction bit.
Right.
She just wants to play the game out of the box. And Smash Up sort of solves that, because you have factions in Smash Up, and each faction is a 20-card deck or 25-card deck, something like that. And you just take the two factions, shuffle them together, smash it up, as it were.
Nice.
And then you have battlegrounds, which are called bases, and you just duke it out over the battlegrounds to win points. And the first across the finish line. I think it's 15 points on a two-player game. First to get 15 points wins. And different battlegrounds have higher or lower requirements or different game effects and score more or less points depending on, you know, on the base and stuff. So it works quite well. So it gives me that card game experience that I enjoy. But Joe can also get on board with it because it doesn't, you don't have to do anything but take the two decks out. And what I've got is an app that shuffles. You can put in all the sets that you own because yep. they're all interplayable as well. Ooh. And just press a button and it just chooses two for you.
Cool. So completely just, random.
Yeah. So we just hit the button and go, right, I'm playing the ancient Greeks and dinosaurs. Press the button again. Oh, and you've got fairies and wizards. There we go. We're off. Kind of thing.
Ancient Greeks on dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, that's that. One of the cool things about the game is it's got this real parody comedy vibe.
Right.
Marvel Smash Up is probably the first time they've done a serious, actually, you know, IP associated set.
Surprised there's not been like an actual game of ancient Greeks on dinosaurs.
No, long overdue, if you ask me, but Smash Up's filling that void.
Coming to a sepia box near you very soon.
Yeah. So that's fun. And then what else have I done? I watched some DM Dash North TV. They've been doing some board games themselves. So they did King of Tokyo and Dice Throne.
Oh, I love King of Tokyo.
Yeah, watched their vids. That was good. And yeah, that's about it in terms of non-Dice Masters. So pretty quiet, all told.
Good news, though. There's a roadmap to coming out of lockdown.
I will believe it when I see it.
And we can go back on holiday on the 12th of April. And guess what?
You're going on holiday on the 12th of April.
Yeah, we riskily booked a holiday on the 12th of April. And it's paid off nearly. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't believe a word that comes out of that bloke's mouth.
Oh, let's not go that political.
No, sure. But my employer, who is a public sector organisation, has told me that it's going to be September, October at the earliest.
Ooh. Wow.
So.
There you go. You heard it here first. The Ministry of Dice for all your political and lockdown information.
Absolutely.
Bloody hell. It's like we've got Piers Morgan on the other end of the line. All I said was, we've got a roadmap and I'm going on holiday. Although you've got hair like Boris. I think he's after you. He's trying to catch up with you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's recognised the power of the hair. Although I've actually had the back cut off.
Shut the fridge door.
Yeah. Proper Viking style, mate. Joe just tied it back and got the scissors and chopped a big chunk out. Got rid of the mullet.
Yeah, is it like proper like skinhead to the sides and just like a strip down the back with a massive ponytail?
No, I did. Very nearly did. Very nearly did.
Check it out. I had a lockdown haircut as well this week.
Yeah, you got the razor out, did you?
No, it's not as short. I just went, well, we use clippers because it's easier. I just went, do what you want. And I really wanted her just to do like skinhead at the top and leave it long at the back so I could have a mullet. I really thought she was going to do it, but she didn't. I'd have been quite happy with that because I'd have not been allowed back into the office at all ever again. Business at the front, party at the back, but not to be, I'm afraid.
No. Right, there we go. Well, we're all introed up, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a rambly one, folks. Strap in.
Yeah, so let's tell the folks what we're going to be doing in today's episode. So I mentioned before that we've been taking a look at the Kryptonite Crisis spoilers. I did the video on YouTube the other week, but we're going to get together for a classic Ministry of Dice pick of the week.
Oh, and there might be an intro you've not used yet as well.
I'll have to check, but possibly, yeah. So with the raft of Kryptonite Crisis spoilers that have hit the Tinter webs in recent weeks, we like doing a pick of the week, so we'll do a pick of the week. And then for our second meaty segment of the episode, we are going to talk a bit more about 10 in 10 in preparation for the MOD PDM at the end of March, which is creeping up now, really. It's only a month away.
Yeah, it's not long. February is a short month.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll have a little bit of a chat about that and, you know, teams and combos and some more thoughts about what the meta might look and feel like on the day. And that, with all that done, that should take us to the end of the episode, especially now we've just recorded a massive rambly intro.
Good work.
Good work, sir. Good work. So, shall we crack on with it?
Let's do it.
Yes, welcome back there, folks. So here we are then. It is a Ministry of Dice pick of the week.
Oh, we've not done one for ages.
I'm trying to cast my mind back. I think the last pick of the week we did would have been spoiler-themed again and possibly Dark Phoenix Saga-related. And it would have definitely been The Other Side of Christmas, maybe October, November time.
And with every pick of the week, there is that opportunity to listen to one of the fine, fine little theme tunes I've put together.
One of the fine, fine theme tunes that in no way have stopped us from putting these
doing a pick of week. YouTube. No, mate. No, I checked them all. They're all completely free of anything naughty.
I'm sure they are. All right. Well, I'll dig through the folder. And at this point, now.
The pick of the week. The pick of the week. The pick of the week.
You'll have just heard one of Andy's fine, fine pick of the week theme tunes. So if you're new around these parts, then we'll just do a quick explanation. Pick of the week is, we've got a whole thing about doing kind of reviewing cards or highlighting cards, kind of based on a bit of a gut instinct. So they're about our kind of our top picks, things that catch our eye, things that get the juices flowing, or stuff we get excited about for one reason or another. That's, I think that kind of describes pick of the week.
Yeah, we have a chat about it, explore it, see what different avenues and options and cool things that could potentially do. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong.
Indeed. But that's part of the fun of it. So we've gone away and taken a look at... Oh, go on.
I just said it is. I was just supporting.
Ah, thanks, mate.
As a sidekick.
Oh, we forgot to mention in the intro that we went on the Double Double and Dice this week.
Indeed, the most recent episode of the Double Double of Dice, as you are listening to this, is, in my opinion, my favourite episode of the Double Double and Dice that I've listened to so far. Well done for being a year down the line, their anniversary, their birthday, and we were honoured enough to be part of that episode. A big part, because we didn't shut up.
No, we did. They ran the bar, which we again, that's another segment we've not done for a while. Here on the Ministry of Dice, they had us run the bar.
They did indeed. And oh my God, it's payback time.
Yeah, Kim is a ball breaker with her questions. First, you should go and have a listen. I was all for giving Andy some bants because obviously I won. But then when his round ended, I was like, I can't. I just can't. It's not. Those were really tough questions. So I'm not going to spoil any of them, but go away and have a listen to the episode there. It was a lot of fun and we really enjoyed hanging out with those guys. So thanks, Kim and Jocelyn, for having us on. It was a good laugh. Absolutely.
It was.
So pick of the week then. So we both got away, had a look at the spoilers. There's been a range of spoilers across a number of content creators. We have a gallery. I've mentioned it before. It's on BritRoller6.com. If you go to the title bar and hit the unreleased set spoilers or spoilers from unreleased sets. I can't remember. Unreleased set spoilers at the top of the page. That'll take you through to the various galleries. You've got the Dark Phoenix Saga one in there, got Kryptonite Crisis one in there, and all the solicits information for the other sets that we've yet to see any more information on. But it's got any information we've got on Fantastic Four versus Galactus, Secret Wars, and House of X is in there also. So go and take a look at that if you want to go see the cards that we're talking about today. And thanks to WizKids as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we've been and had a look and picked a card each, and we'll be having a chat about them. So would you like to go first, or shall I?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, yeah.
One, two, three, go. Rock.
Scissors.
Oh, smash.
Okay. So what does that mean? You're going first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Cool.
We didn't establish that.
No, we didn't. I was going to go for a choice, but obviously, going first seems to be the, go first. So, Kryptonite Crisis spoilers. There is a smattering of spoilers out there, and some look good, some don't, some look a bit meh. But the one, there's some do look good. The one that I have chosen for our lecture today is Anti-Monitor Mobius. Is that how you say it? Mobius?
Yeah, Mobius. That's right. Yeah.
First thing I said is the card art on this card is 100 times better than the weird thing that was on the Anti-Monitor card from War of Light. It actually looks pretty dead hard.
Which... It's going to be a good looking foil, that, with that the glowing hand and the those kind of shiny bars in his armor and stuff.
So that'd be cool. And the card was spoiled by DM North, I believe.
I think so. I get there's been two Anti-Monitors spoiled, and one was by DM North and one was by DM Armada. So apologies, folks, if we've got them back to front.
But they're both DMs, aren't they? It's a 5-cost fist. His text reads, when Anti-Monitor attacks, you may KO any number of your character dice. For each that you do, your opponent KOs one of their character dice. And his statistics are 1552662777. I think probably from that description, you've got a good idea where I'm going, which is that you get some sidekicks out. Sidekick Maker, the Atlantis Global.
The new Batman Global.
Yeah, or just, you know, rolling them. If you've got those wee colour dice that always come up with sidekicks. And hopefully get more out there than your opponent. Knock out, say you get 3 or 4 sidekicks, knock them out. If they're just trying some Trixie Dixie 3 or 4 dice combo, then they have all gone. And hopefully then you can charge through, because he is no slouch in his stats for a 5-cost. Yeah, I really like his stats for the 5-cost, actually. If you discount Becky Lynch, that breaks the mold. a 5-6-7 attack on a 5-cost is pretty decent. He's max 3, which is a little bit wonky. Don't like that. Yeah. Max 4 and all, please.
Unless it's max 6.
You could do max 6. But, yeah, that's... I don't really have... Look, let me... The rest are all max 4, aren't they? Max 4, max 4. Harley Quinn, who knows? 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Oh, there's a mastermind with a max 3. So max 5. So looks like there could be some variances and shenanigans with the number of dice. Most seem to sit in that nice little 4 area. I am just so distracted today off everything. That side of things. One thing that when we were having a quick chat before that Chris mentioned, which I think is worth noting, is that you can definitely get some KO mechanics in there. So I can't remember, and apologies in advance. I know there's something in the WWE that when you knock it out, they come back at the end of the turn. Let us know if you can remember what that is. I'm sure there's more than one. Actually, I had a quick flick through Sidekick looking to see if I could find it beforehand, and there's quite a few when KO'd effects kind of throughout those cards. So some things to try and double him up with. Also, just your standard when fielded dudes, just so you can get them churned around and again, is going to be pretty good as well. So, your elf thieves. And similar. throw that in there. Relevant Jesus. Meta card. Your gobbies, things like that.
Jesus Christ.
But you get the idea. A lot of cards have a when fielded effect. Not as many, but plenty do have when KO'd effects. So you could really take advantage with that as well as clearing your opponent's board off. And I'm guessing here's one. Your opponent has to KO one of their character dice. So you're not targeting. What you're targeting is your own dice.
I don't know. Some rules lawyer will figure that out. That's for somebody else down the line. We don't do that stuff over here at the Ministry of Dice.
That's a true story. That's why we do all our games with a chat, so that people can tell us what we're doing wrong. but I would suggest that my argument would be, if you're targeting your own dice to be KO'd, then you're not targeting your opponent's dice. Your opponent's doing that. Potentially a way around any of those kind of protection cards that there are out there.
I assume because your opponent chooses what they would KO themselves, don't they? You don't pick. your opponent KOs one of their character dice.
Yeah.
So it may, like you say, it may backfire because, as you mentioned before, you've got to have that surplus of characters available to make sure that you're overwhelming their ability to keep their field stacked. But yeah, interesting. Yeah, and you're certainly right. I was thinking, like, things that were jumping into my head, like there's a Grell that's just a good bit of ramp and churn. Gazer, there's a KO Gazer that does some fun stuff. People like Grey Hunter, you know, when KO'd, deal one damage to all opposing characters, just a bit annoying. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, definitely. Springs to mind. What's the KO, the character when KO that does corrupt? Is that one of the Dark Beasts, maybe?
Oh, maybe. That Grey Hunter, that'd be a perfect combo because then you'd get rid of all their sidekicks and then they'd have to get rid of their characters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so you attack with your anti-monitor, you KO any number of your character dice. Again, this is rules lawyery stuff because I don't know. Do you get to choose to trigger your Grey Hunter before they finish, before they do the KOs, or do you have to fully resolve anti-monitor before you then resolve your KO effects?
I think you get to choose. It's the queue system, isn't it? And as everyone knows, the queue system is really overly convoluted and no one actually knows what it means. So I'll go with that you choose whatever makes it work for you. And then as long as you sound confident enough, people usually go for it.
Yeah, just go, fair enough.
Yeah, it absolutely goes. And I, okay.
However, despite that, whether that would be the case or not, we may be, once again, Ministry of Dice wildly misinforming people. I think you're right. It's a little dark horse, that one. I think there's something more to that card than meets the eye on initial reading. Now, it might be that a five cost with two levels of a two fielding cost is too much, but I'm definitely going to be taking a closer look now at cards in Modern that say when KO'd.
Yeah, and that's my pick of the week.
Lovely jubbly. Yeah, nice choice, sir. Nice choice. Okay, well, I'll do mine then. So mine is a bit further down the page, so I'll scroll down. And I have chosen Poison Ivy Pushed Too Far. Now, this one, incidentally, this was one that we spoiled ourselves.
No way.
And we did, yeah. And it was a secret spoiler. I actually tagged it on the bottom of an article that I wrote on the subject of tokens and just threw it in at the end rather than including it on our spoiler vid. So that was my little thank you to our loyal readers who bothered to read the random ramblings and what have you that I drop on Brit Roller 6, although it didn't take very long for others to notice it was there and scoop it up. So, but Poison Ivy Pushed Too Far is a three-cost mass. She's got the Legion of Doom affiliation, but she's not a villain. And she reads, when fielded, choose an opposing character replacing all previous choices. While Poison Ivy is active, when that character die attacks, field a naught attack and two defense plant token. While Poison Ivy is active, if a plant token is KO'd, target player loses one life.
Oh, that's so up your street.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah. And then she's got the standard Poison Ivy stats of 0-1-2, 0-2-4, 1-3-6. So I like that she's cheap, three masks with pretty decent stats for a price. You know, we've all used Poison Ivy at one time or another and found certainly a level 2 and level 3 quite handy defensively. I like this idea of choosing an opposing character and when it attacks, it giving you a free blocker, you know?
Yeah, and if you choose anti-monitor, when he attacks, you create a token and the next time you KO it and do one damage.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. So
that's what you're going to do to me and really annoy me.
Andy's had a vision of the future. We'll be like, right, we're going to play our pick of the week teams now that the cards are out in 2025. So here we go. Here's Andy goes, I've got my anti-monitor team ready to go. I'll be like, I've got my Poison Ivy team. You'll be like, no. But yeah, lots of interesting stuff attached to this one. I think the fact that the trigger point is when that character die attacks that you field the die. So you get to create the plant token before selecting blockers. So it is in effect just giving you a chump blocker. So if there's something big and nasty on the other side of the field, you can get a chump blocker nice and swift. I like the whole idea of losing life if that plant token is KO'd. I mean, obviously, there's ways and means of manipulating that. You could target a character on the other side of the field and force your opponent to attack with it using something like Doctor Strange Global from Infinity Gauntlet, Force Attack Global. Generate the plant token, force them to block it and lose a life. You know, that's because it's not attack and two defense, the thing they've just attacked with won't die. So I think there's just some fun control-y shenanigans that you can pull off there, although of course your poison ivy's at risk as a result of that, because she's got low attack numbers, so you'd have to find a way of mitigating the force attack. So I like that. It says very clearly you field a plant token as well, so you can take advantage of stuff that trigger when you field the die or the token. So might be a nice fit for Thor teams. You've got the Jubilee, which is the reprint of the Johnny Storm Human Torch coming up in Dark Phoenix Saga that triggers a damage when a character is fielded. So you got all your kind of when fielded triggers, you know, that trigger from other things being fielded, I should say. So I think that's quite nice. She's Legion of Doom. I've got a feeling there's some stuff that could be done there as well. I was having a look. So I just think it's a really interesting card.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in the spirit of pick of the week, both of the ones we picked there are great examples of, I think the things that get me excited, and Anti-Monitor is the same, is like there's experimentation and brewing possibilities within it.
Yeah, it does fail my Dice Masters card test, though, because I don't usually go for cards with more than 5 lines of text. Makes it too complicated.
Sure. That's not too complicated.
No. Is it, though? No. It is quite complicated.
Choose an opposing character replacing all previous choices. Right, I'll choose that one. I'll choose that.
I'm already confused.
There. That bob at the end. All right, well, look forward to games against me using it. <That's> I'm feeling right. Confused, I suppose.
Sometimes you just go, and you lose a life, and I just go, yeah, I don't know why, but thanks. It's like, do you remember that helicarrier? It looked like a page from the Bible on the bottom of it.
Yeah, sure.
Flipping heck. Do you remember that one? I can't remember
what it was. I do remember it, yeah.
It was horrific.
I used to play the stat buff one with something. What did I used to play the stat buff one with? I can't remember, but I used to use the stat buff one.
But yeah, keep it simple. +2 attack when attacks or something. But anyway.
Right, but anyway, there we go. So yeah, the poison ivy I think is just interesting. 3 cost mass, nice and cheap. Yeah, it's got everything I look for in a card. Now it's not going to win you games, I don't think. You would have to KO 20 plant tokens to win. But I think it's just got an interesting flavour to it.
Yeah, it's going to force your opponent to think twice about doing something that they want to do.
Yes.
Which then can divert the game another way to your advantage. So it makes sense. I mean, like, I want to attack, but I know that when I attack, I'm going to give you an advantage and probably lose a life at some point as well. And that's annoying. Good choice.
Thank you very much. Thank you indeed. Yeah. So I think there's a few that have been what some have called the showstoppers, and there's a lot of talk going on about the new Batman Global, a lot of talk going on about the new Harley Quinn, the super rare Wonder Woman. And I get it. I get why you would talk about those. But I think the two that we've selected today just have an interesting flavour to them.
Oh, I want that Batman on a team-up team. 3 affiliations. What the fudge?
I think, yeah, you're not the first to have said that, dude.
Oh, but I was the first to mean it. I'll probably actually do it.
So there we are then, folks. So go and have a look at the gallery, by all means. Please do get in touch if you've got any thoughts, any interesting combo ideas that have occurred to you using that Anti-Monitor or using Poison Ivy. Would love to hear about them. Or any of the other spoilers, of course. Get in touch about any of the other spoilers. We're always happy to talk Dice Masters. You know where to find us. If you go over to facebook.com/theministryofdice, send us an instant message, or head on over to BritRoller6.com and hit the contact us and fire us an email over. Or...
yes.
You might like to join our new Discord.
New Discord? We didn't mention that in the intro either.
No, we haven't. I've been really busy and I've just come to realise it. So yeah, if you want to come talk to us about the spoilers, on BritRoller6.com at the top right-hand corner, there is a little kind of socials, all our different social media gallery. There's a Discord in there. If you hit that, it'll take you through and invite you to our server. There's loads of stuff going on in there. We are members of the Broadchurch of Nerddom. So we've got conversation right now taking place, in fact, around MCU movies. We've got a conversation taking place about other tabletop games. Apparently Pan Am is a good choice, folks. I'm told reliably. It's a board game. Keeping an eye out on Kickstarters and whatnot. But we've also got the Dice Masters section in there as well, and there's been some chat about the spoilers. So send us an instant message, by all means. Send us an email, by all means. Or come and hang out and get some real-time nattery going on in the Discord.
Not a massive fan of Discord.
Oh, jeez.
What, have you just collapsed?
Well, I've just been like, can you save that so that there's at least some distance between me promoting people coming and talking to me on Discord and you then slagging off Discord? If we could just have a little bit more of a gap, that would be great. This is because Discord's got more than six lines of text. That's, it's the same theory.
Not at the same time, though.
No. All right, well, that wraps up our pick of the week segment. Please do get in touch and we'll move on to the next segment, folks. Right, okay then, time to talk the 10 in 10 format.
10 in 10 of 10. What was it? We used to have it off pat. You used to be able to say it off pat when we used to talk about 10 in 10.
10 in 10. 10 in 10. 10 off 10. 10 by 10. 10 to 10.
That's it.
Yeah, so if you haven't cottoned on to it, then we will reiterate. On Saturday, the 27th of March, starting at 6 p.m. GMT, we're running an online MOD PDM, which, what does that stand for, Andy?
Ministry of Dice Presents Dice Masters.
Absolutely. Normally a face-to-face event in the UK. We run a couple through the year, but clearly because of our lockdown situation, we're not able to do so. So we're taking it online and inviting all our international online player friends to come and join us on the day. And the format that we've selected is 10 in 10 with a few additional restrictions. There's some restricted combos on the list that you can't play, and we're allowing an extra card for the Infinity Gauntlet set to acknowledge the larger card pool. So there's a 10 in 10 with a bit of a tinker.
Oh, you little tinker.
Absolutely I am. So we've been building teams, talking about teams and kind of getting prepped up. And even though I won't be playing on the day, I'm certainly helping Andy out, get himself practiced up and prepped up. So we just thought we would sort of expand a little bit on the conversation that we started in the last episode, kind of talking about 10 in 10 meta and what kind of things are standing out to us so far.
Yarp.
Great contribution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm wondering if, what am I trying to say? I am wondering if globals are going to be very prevalent.
And why is that?
Because if they are, then you want a bit of global protection, don't you? And that Pip the Troll sits very nicely in an Oracle esque theme, top tier, proper good way of defending against it. That was really bad language, but hopefully you understood that. But if there's no globals, it ain't that great. So it's really hard to tell what the meta will be like. If there's loads of globals banging around left, right, and center, then absolutely it's worth the free cost, full cost? Four, I think.
Four cost, yeah.
Slam it out there, cause all sorts of mayhem. I just don't know. I remember when they first brought it out and I was very excited. I think it was on, like, first pick on the first team I ever made out of my new shiny IG cards. And then there just wasn't the globals to justify it, and it didn't really make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I think there will be. I mean, if we think about the... So all the top tier win conditions are in the card pool. They're in the mix. Your big three, Becky Lynch, Godcatcher, and Thor. Becky Lynch, Maiden Island, Godcatcher, Famous Walking Statue, and Thor, Jormungandr's Fear. So they're in the mix. And then you kind of next layer down your Iceman in the X-Men Forever campaign box. You've got your Green Lantern, the Green Lantern Human from the Justice campaign box. All still in the mix. You've still got...
Atom. You know, is that still viable?
Well, there was definitely a list knocking around a little while ago using Energy Field Global and Atom, but there is a new Nebula on the scene that does very, very similar. That kind of works. So, but we'll come to the the outliers in a second. Just because in answer to your question about the globals, all of those wind conditions rely very heavily on globals to come to life. So the Thor team, that's what I've been playtesting with you recently. He's a big six cost, and the globals are a huge contributing part to buying him nice and early. So your things like your Kree Captain, your Prep globals, your Xanathar globals, your Counter-Strike globals, etc., etc. And then using globals like Atlantis Global to field sidekicks to trigger his effect as well. So he is a very global intensive character there. Your beat stick stuff, so maybe not Becky Lynch, because she can't be played with the two famous ringside announcer cards, but your other beat sticks like your Deadpools, your Thanoses, your Logan Grimnars, you know, whatever your beat sticker choice is, again, will be global intensive teams because they'll be using stuff like the force block effect on Booker T, or stat bump effects like, you know them better than me. What's the one where you have to pay a bolt?
Oh, yes, I should know that. It's in my little dice thing. It's
Angry Issues, is it? Is it with a fist?
Anger Issues with a fist, raised shields, and I'm pretty sure there is other ones as well, which you pay a bolt and put plus one attack.
Sure. So they're all very global intensive. So I think, broadly speaking, you know, it is going to be a global intensive team. Green Lantern human teams rely a lot on globals, like the Clayface Restless, you know, to bring in more masks, for example, as well as looking for mask-related globals to plow the energy into to make use of it during the attack step. So, you know, already three out of the five sort of top liners, headliners, you're looking at a lot of global stuff. So I think, yeah, team building with some global hate in mind is not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's quite a good idea. What else do you reckon? So, like, again, actions.
Yeah, actions, I mean, is going to have God a place.
An action. Becky Lynch is going to rely on some form of... No, it's a global off the action, isn't it, as opposed to the actual action, so that might not be...
Yeah, so Godcatcher definitely is going to have actions because actions trigger the Godcatcher.
Yeah.
So whether it be triggering by a second instance of fielding a Godcatcher trap, or whether you're using a cheap action like Throne Brick or something to trigger it. So, yeah, you'll definitely see a lot of action stuff going on, and cards that allow you to get your actions for cheaper will be around. It would surprise me if there isn't some action-focused team. The thing with Godcatcher is that we've made it a restricted combo with Under Surveillance, which is that's kind of the popular combo, because tokens count as level one dice when they're in the field. Under Surveillance makes a level one dice unblockable. And so, you know, that's your 10 attack going through with very little defense available. And the stuff that supports that, like Istrid Horn and Eddie Guerrero, not Istrid Horn so much, unless he was a team pack one, but Eddie Guerrero certainly can pair up to take care of any nasty static fields there, or can globals that are going to interfere with his ability to do lots of damage. The thing there will be is that it will be a board clear effect that people will be looking for.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. A bit of chessing it out.
Yeah, yeah. So actions, probably less so than globals, but certainly has its place in that 10 in 10 meta. You know.
And there's less stuff against actions, isn't there?
Most definitely, yeah. In fact, one of the reasons I think some individuals are so eager for Dark Phoenix, X-Men Dark Phoenix Saga to come out, is because there's some action hate in the Moira cards.
Noise.
That will have a place.
Cool beans. We missed that Scarlet Witch.
I hated that Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, that's because you loved actions. You loved Boom Boom.
Yeah, well, I mean, that definitely annoyed me because I liked playing things like Boom Boom teams and Attune teams. But I think what I don't like is when one card eliminates a whole proportion of potential team builds, you know. So... that I've talked about this before, you know, as your hierarchy of teams, as it gets narrower and narrower at the top, I prefer a slightly flatter top with a bit more variety within the meta. And when there's a card like that affecting action teams, when it comes to the top end of that hierarchy, it just takes all the action teams out because people are like, I can't play a Boom Boom team, I can't play an Attune team, I can't play this team that relies on, I don't know, Seething, Corruption, Under Surveillance, whatever, because... there's that Scarlet Witch around, you know. So, yes, it did annoy me, definitely, because I like playing action teams. But also, I think there's there was a wider issue.
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
however, when you're sat across the table from a boom boom team and throwing bricks and leathering you for 6 damage a turn, I also can't blame someone for saying, oh man, I wish I had a Scarlet Witch right now.
Yeah, but it's balance, isn't it? You could bring a Scarlet Witch, and then if Becky Lynch comes to overcrush you to death, you're going to be like, that's no use.
Yeah, well, that's Becky Lynch. So when we were talking about recording this podcast, you said, can you think of 2-card combos or 10-in-10 stuff that would be relevant? I said, yeah, of course I can. But Becky Lynch, even without the ringside announcers, I think it's going to be a big threat at the 10-in-10 event.
Yeah.
She's got, as you said before, you used the phrase, she's broke the mold, because she's got inbuilt removal with the reroll effect. She's got huge stats, overcrusher, and a way to speed up the team with her global. So she's definitely one to be watched out for. She's not quite as powerful because you can't double up her impact using Jerry Lawler because they're from the same set. But I still think an 8 attack overcrusher with all the options to buff stats and, you know, chuck a parasite on with her or whatever, and she's just become a 10 or an 11 overcrusher, you know what I mean? So I think there's still possibilities. And if you're team building for the event, you definitely want to be thinking about the impact that Becky Lynch will have.
I think so. I am thinking, and I'm just going to see if I can find it. Where is my fish food team?
I don't know. Where is your fish food team?
I'm having a look on the BritRoller6.com website, because that's got all of our teams on there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a bit behind actually, but yeah, it should have the fish food. Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, let's have a look. What have we got? So you can definitely do the life game bit, because you've got Silgar, Poxwalker, Aquaman. So that's all good. You wouldn't be able to use Volo for the attune, but you could use Wasp instead.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely find a substitute for sure.
Gauntlets down, boys and girls. Anyone want to try and fish food it to the top?
Will you not be trying to fish food it to the top yourself?
No. I'm working on the team that I've been playing for the past few weeks. I have been enjoying it through varying successes. It's weenies, it's teenies, and it revolves around... So, yeah, I'm looking at the... Well, it's Ant-Man, but I didn't use him. I just used the Tube Lee for the ping damage, but I don't know. I quite like these set of cards. I'm going to have a little play around with and see what I can do to tweak this team, as opposed to kind of rely on something that I've, you know, flogged to death already.
Yeah, the unblockable element. I mean, it's one that always just sort of skirts the edge, isn't it? Making stuff unblockable.
It is. Just need to make sure how you get it through. And obviously, they're quite rightly is things to balance the game and make sure that you can't just go, it's unblockable, you're dead, end of game. But it's just working out. Not only things to kind of help it get through there, but also for things like timing and when do you attack, when you don't attack, all that kind of learning the team as you play along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But circling back round to the cards, you know, I still think Iceman right on schedule might make an appearance, only because the current sort of combo that makes him work is with Turk Barrett from Infinity Gauntlet. It's the super rare one with the Energize that deals a damage. And then when you spend a mask to use a global ability or field a character, he deals a damage to target character die. So if I remember right, I think it's... you just load up then on mask globals that you can use in the attack step global window, spend masks on them to then trigger a ping of damage over at your Iceman. But obviously that's X-Men Forever and Infinity Gauntlet, so it's from two different sets, and you can just dig your mask globals from whatever, couldn't you? Like, you could put, I don't know, an Avengers ID card on there from Avengers Infinity and... just make all your dice Avengers in the attack step to ping Iceman 5 times or whatever, you know what I mean? So that might be a little kind of outlier, an outsider that kind of creeps in and goes, boo, you know.
I like the idea of an outsider.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be lovely to see. So that Nebula team, I don't know, it kind of fizzled out. It went somewhere and then went quiet again, but it was certainly an interesting list. So this was the Nebula with Awaken. I'll just bring it up in front of me, actually, so I can... because she doesn't just do the damage to the opponent. So she's 5-cost mask, Guardians of the Galaxy. Awaken, deal 1 damage to target character die and 2 damage to target player. Now, the thing with her that Atom doesn't have is that she's a mask character, so you've got the Asuka discount to help you buy her for 3.
Yeah.
She does the ping to a character in addition to the 2 damage that she's firing over the table at your opponent as well. So there might be something, you know, like, again, I'd love to see someone try and make an Awakened team happen, you know.
That would be quite cool.
Yeah, maybe with that new collector, Driven by Purpose, which is the one that fields a 3 or less cost character when he's awakened.
That must have more than 5 lines of text. Can't remember that one.
That most certainly does have more than 5 lines of text, yeah. Or, you know, throw a Nebula and an Atom on the team and just spin them up and down with
one up, the other goes down, put the other one up, the other one goes down.
Yeah.
That's what I was sort of doing with it, but then buying 2. I think we've spoken about that before, and then them going up and down. But, yeah, be interested to see if someone can make it work with the 10 and 10 restriction.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some stuff I'm not sure can have a... Well, I don't know, actually. Like, I was thinking Poison Ivy. There's a Poison Ivy, isn't there? The new leaf when she's fielded. When she's fielded, you KO a character, which you can KO herself, and she deals damage equal to the KO'd character's level to the opponent and to all the dice that they control. She's a 5-cost mask. So that might be a board clear solution to pair up with your Godcatcher or whatever. I don't know. There's some stuff just sort of skirting the outsides that I wonder if in 10 in 10's got a bit more life in it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of X-Men, because usually X-Men are pretty strong, but they're all kind of confined to the X-Men Forever box, aren't they? I think there's probably a splattering around Avengers Infinity, but I don't think Hope Summers is going to be particularly...
No, there's not much that you'd... Yeah, not much that you'd want to be copying with her that you could put on the team with the 10 in 10 restriction. Although Hope Summers hasn't really taken off, I don't think. You know, like the Hopal Rachel combo, just...
I think with the new Phoenix Force set, she might start appearing again.
Oh, undoubtedly, with the new Colossus. Although, in anticipation of that possibly coming out in time for the event, although I'm not feeling particularly optimistic about it, I have put Hope and that Colossus on the restricted combos list.
Oh, nice foresight.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
I was about to start doing it. I was about to start putting a team together. But I will stay my hand.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, I'm burning out of energy on that, but I would be really interested to hear from the listeners. I know a few of you got in touch already to talk about 10 in 10 teams and combos, but I'd certainly be interested to hear. Is it just going to be competitive Dice Masters, your big 3, plus a couple of others like Green Lantern and maybe Iceman or something in the mix? Or are there a couple of outliers that are given a bit more of a lease of life as a result of the 10 in 10, what you're playing around with, what you're experimenting with? We'd love to hear. Andy's playing in the event, so I suppose if you want to talk about it anonymously, or email me about it, because I'm not playing and it won't influence my team building choices, then by all means.
Nice. Well, everyone share with me what you're going to play on the day.
Oh, I'm certain they will. but let's wrap that one up there, because I'm running out of steam, if I'm being honest.
Cool. Well, we will reiterate once again that the 10 in 10 MOD PDM is on March 27th, 6 p.m. kickoff UK time. We would love for you to join us. If you are a season pro and a regular, then we hope to see you there. If you have not dipped your toe in the water, then this is a perfect opportunity for you to get beavering away on your transition zone and your sidekick app teams to try out, have a natter, see how you get on. There is no one that is going to be anything other than polite, cordial, and a joy to play against, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if anyone is, then let me know. I'll sort them out. I'll get the boys involved.
You'll sort them out. All right. Whatever you say.
I'll get a Becky Lynch on the go.
On to the outro. Well, there we are then, folks. As all things must, this episode of the Ministry of Dice has come to an end. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording it.
And we did.
Yes, we did. So not much else to say at this point. Come join us on Discord. Come join us on Facebook. Go check out our website. Come join us on YouTube. Just join us. You can't escape us. We're everywhere. Just whatever your thing is, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure we got something for you.
Come join us on Apex as well if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like more people jumping in on the Discord just to get more conversation going. To be clear, the focus is much more on the kind of Dice Masters adjacent conversation. There is a Dice Masters section in there, but there's a lot more chat about comic books and movies and other board games and stuff. But we certainly do have Dice Masters related conversation taking place in there. And I think you guys are all, you know, nerdy movie fans as well and play other board games and what have you. So come and bring your voice to the conversation. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Other than that, though, I don't think there's much else to say. So we'll just do a quick wrap-up, shall we, my man?
Yarp.
Okay.
Yarp.
Let's get it done quick before Andy over there gets distracted by a squirrel or something. So I've been Chris, otherwise known as the True Mr. Six.
And I've been Andy, a.k.a. Squirrel.
See you in 2 weeks, folks.
Bye.
One second, mate.
Oh, yeah, of course, mate.
What are you looking for? Your issues of the week? Wind your body, wriggle your belly, wind it, go up to the new style. Wind it, go up, wind it, go down, bubble and a rocker to the new style around. You got to wind it up, you got to grind it up. Kind of boom shakalaka to the new style. Down.